Hey you, how's it going? My name is Ruby Price and you're listening to the 29th ever episode of Fresh From The Scene. Today's episode is the first episode since March 2020 that was actually recorded in person with my guests, and you have no idea how exciting that was, how much of a good feeling that was. So I'm hoping that the somewhat relaxing of COVID rules, as much as I'm cautious, will lead to more of these, and hopefully I can see some artists at gigs and actually get, you know, that atmosphere, that, you know, face to face, because Zoom's great, but in person, that's the real, that is such a good interview feeling. And yeah, without further ado, this is episode 29 of Fresh From The Scene featuring Mahatma Raindrop. Please enjoy.
You're listening to Fresh From The Scene with your host, Ruby Price.
Welcome to Fresh From The Scene. Today's guests are Johnny and Josh from Mahatma Raindrop.
Whee! Hello.
Congratulations on being the first IRL podcast in, like, a year and a half.
This is the most recent one, like, so.
This is the most recent IRL podcast. Everything else has been done over Zoom.
Oh, God.
Oh, God.
Oh, God. Scary, scary. Yeah, it's been a bit of a mad year, hasn't it?
Yeah, how are you doing anyway?
Surviving, yeah. Survived the lockdown apocalypse, just about.
It's weird because I talk to you all the time.
I know. This was your problem last time.
We know each other too well.
Yeah, can't get enough of it.
Yeah. Shit.
Shit.
Can we go out now, Boris?
I would like to go out now.
I would quite like to go out now. But speaking of going out, you guys are playing a gig tonight.
We
Parish.
Are. Absolutely.
Yeah? How are you feeling about that?
I'm buzzing for it, but it's going to be so strange.
I'd never get nervous for gigs, but this one I am a little bit like, oh boy, like, it's going to be weird.
I wouldn't really call it nerves, it's just, it's going to be so weird. Mm-hmm. Playing to people that sat at tables, just...
It's going to be different. Like, we've had to think about things like... You know, usually at the end of one of our songs, it becomes, you know, circle pit time. If you've ever been to one of the gigs and you've heard Can't Be There Live, we just get a mosh pit going on. We can't do that, so we're having to adjust the set and we're having to do things that we never would have thought of doing before as part of the new set. Which is good, though, because, like, it gets us to think differently, try different things out.
Yeah, definitely.
Hopefully it'll be alright.
It should be good tonight, it's just a bit worrying with the situation. And
yeah.
I mean, I'm sure it'll be absolutely fine, so it'll be a good do.
In any case, the best thing about this band is just the four of us playing together.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. It's good to be back together again,
yeah.
Really.
Yeah.
It's been well over a year since we last played, probably, so...
Exactly. And I think the time away that we've had, 18 months without even seeing each other, when we've been in the practice room, it feels different. It feels a bit more like... It's a bit less like we're just mucking around and just riffing and playing. And it's a bit more like, all right, we're listening to each other now. Feels a bit more professional. Feels a bit more, like, mature in a way.
Yeah, so almost like the time away from each other has allowed the band to sort of just take it up a step in terms of professionality.
Yeah, I think everyone's sort of got away and done their own thing for a little bit. And I haven't really played that much over the course of the 18 months or so. I've been sort of exploring loads of new music, and I think those new influences will just sort of come together with the four of us. I know that you sort of go through different phases all the time.
Yeah, yeah. Sometimes I'm extreme metal, sometimes I'm like dad rock, sometimes I'm just like... That Nazca Lines record that you
had. Yeah,
oh my brilliant. God, that's so good. That's so good. Are we going to go synthwave now? Is that what we're saying?
Definitely, yeah. I mean, why not?
I think Sam would be...
That record's brilliant, though.
Sam would be very, very upset if we started using synths all the time.
Sam gets upset really easily, though, doesn't he?
Drummers.
Drummers. So, for people listening at home who obviously don't know Mahatma Raindrop, I should have done this at the start of the podcast, but in your own words, you know, who are Mahatma Raindrop members? Why should people listen to you? At all?
Don't.
Yeah, best tagline ever.
Yeah,
don't listen to us. But come tonight, but don't listen.
Come to our gigs, but yeah, just wear your strongest earplugs. It's weird. It's weird. It shouldn't work. On paper, it just shouldn't work. You know, we've got indie heads, we've got stoner rock heads, we've got metal heads, we've got, like, classic rock heads. All those influences together just shouldn't work, but somehow we make something out of it.
It's weird, like, isn't it? Because we still don't really know what genre we really fall under. Mm-hmm. We play with, the majority of the bands we play with are indie bands, aren't they? And, like,
yeah,
we're not necessarily an indie band, but we are at the same time. It's mad.
Yeah, like we, some of the tunes can be really sort of like major, happy and bouncy and, you know, crowd sing-alongs and that kind of things, but then some of the tunes are just like the heavier end of Foo Fighters kind of stuff.
And a bit That's a good way of putting it, actually. I never really thought about that, but yeah.
Yeah.
I'd sort of agree with that.
Yeah, it's kind of like we've got the happy, bouncy tunes and then we've got like pure, like, rock tunes and then there's no middle ground.
Yeah.
Yeah. The thing is, it comes back to the fact that we're all just players. We all just play our instruments, and when you get that in a room together, it works, you know. We were thinking, again, because we've had, like, time to think about things, me and Luke were saying, Geometric Skies shouldn't work. It just shouldn't work, because you've got, like, you've got Johnny stomping away on that da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Like, just straight rhythm. And then you got Luke, like, in between on all of the offbeats, like, and then the drums are, like, swing, which is the complete opposite of what Johnny's playing a straight rhythm. The drums are swinging all over the place, and then the bass is, like, snaky and slinky and smooth. And it's, like, these four different layers that are completely different, but then you just mishmash them together, and it's like, wow, that's cool as fuck. Yeah. We're allowed to say fuck, aren't we?
Yeah, we're allowed to swear on this.
Okay, sweet.
Fuck. Yeah, so, I've never really thought that way about Geometric Skies, but when you put it like that, you're absolutely spot on.
It's almost like a math rock tune, but really indie sounding.
It's like a math rock tune and 4/4 on it.
Yeah.
It's just silly.
Mahatma Raindrop, math rock in 4/4.
Yeah.
That's
your new tagline.
That's the tagline, isn't it?
Yeah. Shh, don't tell anyone.
Yeah.
You've just told everyone.
We haven't.
Damn it.
No.
Yeah, I mean, speaking of tunes and stuff, obviously across the lockdowns that we've had, you released, well, finally released You're Here A Kid and Silence, two fan favourites from live sets because they've obviously, you know, been played across during that. You know, having them out in studio version now, what does that mean?
It means that we need to write some new tunes. That's what it means. It's been... They got sat on for, well, the better part of a year, really. They were done, and we just went solid. Or they needed tweaking, and we just went, I'll do it.
Yeah, it was
and
around
do
about...
it later turned into a year later, and we sort of sat there like, should we do it, or... yeah, we'll do it.
Yeah, because it was never going to be the ideal time. I think we just sat on them waiting for, you know, basically some kind of tour to support them. And then that option was taken away. And we, you know, we were just like, well, we've got them. We may as well put them out. I'm really proud of them, though. I think they sound really good.
Yeah, definitely.
I think You're A Hero Kid, for me, wasn't complete until that version of it went out, and as soon as that was released, it was like that is the version of that tune now. That's how we should.
Yeah.
That's how that tune is, and the same with Silence. Silence is even weirder because that tune is like 10 years old for me, and then I brought it to the band, so it's like 3 years old for you guys.
Mm-hmm. We've played about that.
Yeah,
of course.
Yeah.
No, we haven't.
But this is the thing about the process in Mahatma. You know, we can bring an idea to the table, and it's, you know, how I do it in a demo form on my computer or whatever. And then when these guys play it, it's like, wow, that's something else now. That's like just taking it up another notch.
I listened to all the demos back on my laptop not too long ago. I've still got all of the demos from the very beginning.
Oh no.
I listened to the majority of those fairly recently, and none of them sound anything like any of the songs anymore. Because we do just take ideas into the room and they become songs within an hour or so. And never sound anything like they were supposed to.
Exactly. I think it's just those four different personalities, those four different types of musician that we've got. Just, yeah. You can tell when you listen to it, it's like there's a bit of everybody's, you know, little spices and herbs and flavours in there.
There's never any argument about it either, though. If someone wants to change something, like, yeah, we'll try it.
Yeah.
And usually we try it and, like, yeah, that's good.
Exactly, yeah. It's a trust thing as well. Like, when you're at that point with your band where you're like, just try that, and it just goes down. Sometimes it doesn't work. Sometimes it's like, oh, no, put it back the way it was before. But, you know, it's good.
Yeah, and one thing as well that always helps is, you know, people always consider you guys a live band, and having that live perspective to work around a song to see, like, oh, this isn't working, you know, crowds aren't jamming with this, you know, that helps a lot as well, I imagine, with, you know, actually finding the definitive version of a song.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of the time we have played gigs in the past, and then gone into, if we've had a few gigs in on the bounce, we've sort of gone into a practice room after and thought, oh, well, that was a piss. That's a bit shit, man. So it's easily fixed, though. Like I say, we think about it, maybe even just drop it from the set for a bit and come back to it. I mean, Justice was served a while ago for Baz.
There he is.
Baz needs justice.
Justice was served once and it probably will never get served again.
Yeah, but that's the thing. Like, it's done now. We had our time with that, and we got everything out of that tune that we needed to get out of that tune. Yeah.
Definitely.
But it just, it didn't work live. And hope that never lasts. We played that.
That could be revived, maybe.
Yeah.
I listened to it on the way here, actually.
There's a lot of things about that. Like, on the record, the clean sections are really long.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that was spoiling it live, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, and we were always editing for live as well. Like, tonight, if you come to the gig, you'll hear a few things that we've done. Don't want to spoil anything, but there's a few little extra twists and turns in there. There's a little bit of a response to the fact that, you know, the crowd's going to be seated, and a little bit of a response to, like, how we think of the tunes now. Like, we've always done things like extended intros and extended outros, because we normally don't have enough songs for a set. So you're playing for time. But, and those, the thing about those is they always come naturally. We don't ever, nobody ever says, let's do this. We kind of just literally play it and it happens. And it's like, you don't get that level of synergy with a lot of other bands.
Yeah. I seem to remember you saying that the Jurassic Park theme came naturally.
I like it's at the end of a song. Oh, what a creep that was.
I was like, yeah.
We're not playing the song that it came out of tonight, unfortunately. But
what tune was it?
It was Different Faces, I think.
Yeah, of course it was, yeah.
But that might happen again in the near future. You never know. You never
have to pick a new movie theme.
Yeah.
You should run a poll.
Relevant.
Ruby, run a poll.
Run a poll.
Yeah, what, movie themes.
I'll run a poll themes on the Instagram story.
What movie themes do you want Mahatma to butcher on the next gig?
Jimmy, I mean, what could you do?
Jimmy Neutron. That's a tune.
I was thinking, what's the Quentin Tarantino movie that Black Eyed Peas sampled for Pump It?
I can't remember what it's actually called.
It's not Kill Bill, it's Pulp Fiction?
Yeah, it's Pulp Fiction.
Mm. Yeah.
That's
an iconic one.
What's the song called, though? That's an album, eventually. If I shout it out in the next 5 minutes, I saw you.
Note to editing self, just slot it in.
I feel like it's got a Spanish name.
I don't speak Spanish.
Me too.
No hablo español.
What's village in Spain?
Pueblo, I believe.
Pueblo.
Alex, call me out if it's not.
Paella. Paella. We're not allowed to say paella anymore.
Right.
No, we're not allowed to say paella anymore.
Yeah.
Why?
See, that shows you how much...
Because the Spanish pronunciation of when there's two L's together in a word is je. So paella, British. Paella, Spanish.
It's paella-like. Not if anyone tells different. I'm 25 year old now and I've been saying paella for 25 years and I will not be changing it.
So, you know, like, on the topic of, you know, chucking in movie themes, but, like, you know, covers in general, there's several that become instantly associated with Mahatma Raindrop, you know, Does Your Mother Know, Gotta Get Through This, a certain song by a certain person who is now very much,
No.
You know.
Yeah, that was quickly cut out of the set.
feel like we played at one night at the parish, and I went to kind of get a beer afterwards, and the bomb was like, I can't believe he's played R. Kelly. And I was like, oh, fuck.
I mean, I remember for the final Mahatma gig, in inverted commas, for people listening, like, I went out to get a drink because of how fucking warm it was in Paris that night, and I came back and you were playing R. Kelly.
Did we do that? We are.
No, not us.
Look, we didn't do anything wrong. The song didn't do anything wrong.
It didn't.
I mean, to be fair, people were jamming to it. But, I mean, can people expect covers tonight? Can people expect new covers tonight?
No.
No.
Ooh. As in no covers at all, or just...
As in no covers at all.
Ooh.
Unless we, at the final hour, get asked to play another 5 minutes. But even then, this is the thing. We've been away for so long, we just wanted it to be us.
Yeah.
We just wanted it to be what we do.
Tonight is the Mahatma Raindrop Experience.
We also won't be ending the set on Can't Be There tonight.
Ooh, spoilers.
I mean, this comes out after the gig. The only person you're spoiling is me, and I've been to enough Mahatma Raindrop shows.
Yeah, it's a new song. Which, I say new song, it was recorded the same time that Silence and Hero Kid were recorded.
Yeah.
But never got released and never got played live.
It wasn't ready. I think when we came to record it, we recorded it because it was a uni assignment. It was a uni assignment for me, and it was just a case of like, I need something for my project, and the lads pulled through with a song. But now we've had time to think on it and come back to it and actually play it, because we never played it together. No. It was completely a studio thing, and I think once we played it together and
Luke demoed it, and then
took
it into the studio and just recorded it, which I think was probably quite stupid.
It was a bit stupid,
but. Like you said, circumstances at the time, you needed something doing. We were short on time.
But now we've played it together, it's got another like breath of life to it. And things that we did like and didn't like have been sort of worked around. It'd be good.
Yeah. So that's something I wanted to talk to you about. Obviously, you know, Hero Kid and Silence were recorded by you and produced and mixed by you. I think Luke did the mastering, if I remember correctly.
Luke did a great job mastering them, yeah.
So all pretty much all the modern Mahatma stuff now is, you know, done in-house, effectively. Mm-hmm. You know, it gives you complete control over the stuff.
Everything since A Little Leisure. A Little Leisure. Dickman had a hand in it as well.
Yeah, I mean, Liam did a lot of the stuff on A Little Leisure as well. I mean, you did some, Luke did some.
Yeah. So I think we split it down the middle, didn't we?
Yeah, I think so. The Little Leisure was a few all-nighters and leads back at studios with Liam, and then through the car building. And
yeah, we were just using the resources that we had at the time.
Yeah.
And I remember getting the guitars from your Leeds Beckett session with Dickman. I was just like, okay, there's some extra stuff here. And that was when the swells became a part of the sound.
Yeah.
That was at the point where we were like, I think me and Luke pushed back to get back against it at first. We were like, you're kind of using it a bit too much. And then we got the recordings back and we mixed them down and we're like, actually, it sounds really cool. And you can do it live as well. It's not like a backing track thing. And it just stuck since then, and it's become a part of that sound, this kind of reverb swell thing that just comes from Johnny, and it's like, but it sounds like it's fucking like massive, like we're all doing it.
It sounds ridiculous is what it sounds like, but it works again, like just a maybe call it a happy accident.
Yeah.
I mean, those nights in Leeds Beckett studio was probably about 3-4 o'clock in the morning, delusional at that point. Don't even know what you're playing anymore and you're just messing about, but we got some really good stuff from those sessions.
Yeah, we absolutely did. And yeah, like I say, it was an unexpected thing that became a big part of our sound, and it is on everything since as well. And actually, now it went live, it gets put into the older tunes as well. Which is another point as well, like the whole of the first album, we were pretty young and naive at the time, and we were just like, oh, we've got the opportunity to do an album through some mutual friends of ours, Matt Hayes and Ryan Graham. We were just like, oh, we'll just jump on that opportunity. The songs weren't ready. The songs were not ready. And if you think, if you put like the live version of it now side by side with the recorded version, it's like night and day difference.
And again, that just comes from, like, we just play it. And the more we've played it and the more it's been to gigs and things and we've seen how people respond, we've just tweaked things here and there. And maybe even not for the audience, just for us, because we find it funny.
The amount of times Luke puts me off by doing something stupid.
Yeah, the amount of video clips I've got of at least one of you just breaking, like, you know, down into laughter halfway through a song. It's just...
That's sort of what we're about, though. Like, we don't take ourselves too seriously.
Mm.
I think you shouldn't, really. I mean, I think if you do, you lose the fun of it. And
We could never do a click track, play the same thing robotically every night.
Well, we tried, didn't we, for that Blue Room session?
Yeah.
And click just doesn't work because we're too stupid. And we never play anything the same.
Exactly.
Every time. Especially Sam, because Sam does what he wants when he wants.
Mm-hmm.
So it's tough to sort of do things like that to a click. But I think Can't Be There, when we recorded in the studio, didn't get played to a click.
Can't Be There is fully... I only remembered this the other day. It's fully live on the record.
Mm. Oh, yeah.
And I remember doing the session, and it was actually just the three of us. Luke wasn't available. And he just overdubbed on the top of it and then absolutely killed the solo. And
I've got a video on my phone of the solo still.
Nice.
Of him recording the solo at the time.
I need to watch that.
He used that that Les Paul that was available through the tech store.
Really? Because I wasn't there for that session. See, I'm learning something new about the band.
You're learning something new about your own songs.
I think it was maybe a sort of cherry reddish colour.
Yeah, it was a Les Paul studio in cherry red.
Yeah, he used that for that solo.
Yeah. I believe that guitar got lost in a gambling incident. That's just a rumour, but...
Just a rumour.
I want to believe it. But that's the thing, like, yeah, we could never do it. I think we're at our best when we're just unshackled. We can just do what we want. We might cock up a beat or two, but who cares, you know?
It's all about that live experience. Exactly. Where things go wrong. Things aren't always in time. Things aren't always in tune.
Mm-hmm.
You know, sometimes you miss your pedals.
Sometimes I do miss my pedals. Sometimes I forget to switch my bass on.
I've got that stupid switch on my Jag that I catch every time I'm playing.
The kill switch.
That's really annoying.
Kill switch, disengage.
Literally, like, it's no worse.
It's just that thing of, you know, the exciting part of it is you never know what's going to happen next. You know, I might forget to press a pedal. Sam's cowbell might fall off and smack Johnny.
He's not allowed a cowbell.
Everyone celebrates when his cowbell falls off.
Yeah.
I remember him turning up to a gig with about six cymbals one night. I was like, Sam, you're not using six cymbals. No way you allowed to use six.
I'm sure Sam is the reason I've got tinnitus.
Yeah, same. Like,
Sam's on the phone.
Hello, Sam.
Soon.
Okay.
Cool, bro. We are, mate. Say hello.
Hi, Sam.
Alright, how you doing? Alright, man. I'll just head to the hotel there, man.
Very quick cameo there from Sam Sutton, drummer in Mahatma Raindrop.
This interview brought to you by Sam Sutton.
Oh, God.
Sponsored by Sam Sutton. Oh, my God. That would never sell anything.
Do you want a free cowbell with every 10 minutes of your podcast?
No. No more cowbell.
No, he took it. Actually,
I think he took his cowbell mount.
Is that the one I gave him?
Yeah, I think it's still,
I shouldn't have given him it.
I should arrange my studio so I can find things.
Yeah. Speaking of studios, is there any chance of Mahatma getting in a studio at some point?
I think it's quite likely.
I think it's likely. There's a lot of ideas floating around. And the missing step is just putting us in a room together and just doing what we do.
It's tough at the moment in terms of logistics. And
yeah.
But now the restrictions are sort of being a bit more relaxed. I mean, I'm not bothered anyway. I'm not too sure how you guys all feel about it, but I don't really care about the restrictions anymore.
Well, yeah, it depends where we are. If we're in a studio, that's our time to be us, you know.
Mm.
I wouldn't go to Tesco's without anything on. This is the thing. It makes you think, though, like, because getting together's a premium since we're, you know, Nottingham, Huddersfield, Liverpool, Sunderland. Every time we get together now, we're not pissing around as much. You know, every minute counts when we're in that studio, whether we're rehearsing or we're just like playing together. Every minute counts, doubly so with, you know, Corona restrictions. And it's good because, yeah, we used to fuck about a lot. But nowadays, like I was saying before, we're a bit more mature. Everything sounds a bit more mature. We're all more conscious of what each other's playing. We're not just like trying to shred over the top of each other anymore. And we actually, you know, listen to people's ideas. It means that we're more productive in the sessions that we have together. We just need to get those sessions started and arranged, which you never know with these days. It's like, could go back into lockdown at any point.
I think tonight's the start of the reboot, though, isn't it?
Absolutely.
Get tonight out of the way, and then we'll just crack on from there, I think.
And I think we were being quite ambitious that we wanted to bring a handful of new tunes to this new set that we're doing today.
Yeah, that was never going to happen, really.
Yeah, but the thing is, we tried it, and you know, we fucked about and found out. And then, because of reasons, we've had to drop one or two. But there's still new stuff there.
Yeah, I think we've got another two, maybe three, that are sort of teetering on the edge of being an actual song.
Gig ready. Yeah, it really does kind of like, without the gigs, it does slow down that whole process. Because we're just so focused on like playing together live as a band. Without that, it's like the heart and soul of Mahatma's not there. Unless we're all there, you know, we can demo at home all we want, but it'll never be Mahatma Raindrop until we're all playing it together. So you know, when the grass is greener and we can see each other a bit more often, you can expect a lot of things from us. There's a lot of ideas going around.
Yeah. So obviously, one thing that a lot of people have been missing over the last 18 months is obviously gigs. You know, this weekend just gone, we obviously saw Download Pilot happening. So far, not hearing any reports of surges and stuff, and there's obviously the gig tonight. There's been a couple of socially distanced gigs at Parish already. Like, it looks like live music is potentially returning for good. Like, how important is this in terms of, you know, not even just your own band, but like, you know, bands around this particular scene especially?
It's about bloody time.
It's really important, like, I think, because, I mean, it's hard when you go so long with it being the norm, just playing all the time, to not playing at all, not being allowed to play being the main thing.
Mm-hmm.
It's just tough to deal with. I mean, this is it's people's livelihoods as well. I mean, not necessarily originals, but like covers bands and that's how some people make the money and that's how some people get their income. And to sort of have that taken away from you with no support from any, like the government or anything like that, it's tough to deal with, really.
Yeah, I am on that end of the scale, you know. If it wasn't Mahatma, or if it wasn't anything else, I was heavily involved in theatre, specifically tribute bands in theatre, and yeah, it got dark at points. It really did get quite dark at points, and you know, like you begin to question, like, oh, can I do this? I had literally just started. I had 8 months as a self-employed contractor. So that would mean, you know, absolutely no government support, anything like that. And it did make me reconsider my life. I was like, is this actually what I want to be doing? Yes is the answer, by the way.
100% you know, yes.
I had to go back and get a real job. And, you know, there's the whole mental logistics of doing that. And then, you know, the grass is getting greener though, like I said, like everything's coming back on, and I got, it's kind of bittersweet because I got the call from the theatre company and I got a load of bookings that were pretty much like for like the bookings that I had before everything shut down. But when I look closer through it, there's some theatres, some venues that just aren't there anymore. And that's the biggest tragedy, because things will come back, but then there are venues that are just, they've just left a gaping hole in their scene, whether it's Manchester, whether it's anywhere in the country. There's now these places that, the venues that were holding it down for whatever scene you're involved in, they're just not there anymore.
One of my favourite venues, Deaf Institute in Manchester, came so close to just never opening again. It got bought out by someone, which saved them, but You know, the prospect of Manchester not having Deaf Institute baffles me. Like, that's such an important venue for small circuit bands. You know, Huddersfield nearly lost the Parish, but thanks to a crowdfunder, Frank Turner, and just, you know, some very good people involved in it. You know, it's back up, it's in a new premises, you know, and it seems to be thriving so far.
It really highlights the power of, like, community support and that kind of thing. I think even though the venues aren't there, people are always going to want to do their thing. And as long as there are people that want to do their thing, they'll always be a way. They'll always find a way. You know, it's kind of tragic. I say it's tragic that there's places that have just shut down and are probably going to be demolished for a shopping centre or something capitalistic like that. But then the good side of that is people really did come together and, like, you know, just formed a protective circle around the places that they love and what they want to do. So, yeah, it's strange, but we'll see what happens. It'll be a new landscape. It will be a new landscape, but we're ready to adapt. We're ready to just do whatever and just play our music, have fun. Just that's the main thing.
Yeah. Like, Johnny, you're from the Northeast. Newcastle has very famously, like, been losing a lot of its music venues and stuff over the last 20 years.
Yeah, I mean, it's been tough in the Northeast for music. I mean, I was quite surprised at how big of a community there was down here when I first came down here and moved to uni and that. But Sunderland especially, I mean, Sunderland's not got the greatest music scene in the world. You've got Independent and now you've got Pop Rex as well. Pop Rex have sort of struggled a little bit over the course of the last sort of 18 months or so. Independent were always one of the more liked clubs in town for people who were into the sort of same music as we are, like, you know, indie music and alternative.
Yeah, the clues in the title.
Yeah, absolutely. But they sort of struggled a little bit. They've been doing sort of live stream gigs from the venue, and they're back open now with tables, and they've had a few gigs on. Newcastle have had Little Buildings closed not too long ago, but there is talks that it is reopening. From what I've heard, it will be reopening. I'm not too sure when. I believe our good friends from St. Burien will be playing the opening gig.
Oh, awesome.
So I'm going to try and get along to that. If there's anyone in the Northeast, we'll probably get along to that too. St. Burien.
In the same little building?
I believe so, yeah. Up in Newsburn, Newcastle. You've got places like the Clooney as well. Clooney do really well. There's quite a good scene in Newcastle, yeah.
I remember that little buildings gig. It's not false advertising. It's tiny.
It's a little building,
it's tiny.
Can't be much. The stage isn't much bigger than this room.
Oh yeah, we're playing on top of each other.
Yeah.
And it's just good fun though. It
was a laugh, like, wasn't it? It was.
There's those diamonds in the rough, isn't there? There's always, you know, you look at it and you're kind of like, oh, this isn't up to much. But then you get in there and the crowd's in there and it's really intimate and everybody just has a good time. You know, even if you were playing a bad gig, you would probably have a good time. I can't remember if we played a bad gig or not.
No, I think it was pretty good. Can't remember who we played with, though.
No, it can't have been Robin's band.
No, it wasn't. Robin was there.
Robin was there. She came to see us. But they're like a 12-piece. They never would have even fit in the venue.
No way. I believe they have played there in the past. Just
How?
I can't picture that many of them on that stage.
Literally, how?
Unless you put, like, Chris on Matty's shoulders and Robin on Eddie's shoulders and Callum in the middle. Yeah, might work.
We'll see. It wasn't as bad as a gig at Stonemasons in Sheffield.
Jesus Christ.
Captain Hall.
Fuck.
Yeah.
That was the worst of the worst.
I played twice, mate.
I played two sets, man.
How did we even get involved with that? It was another, like,
I think it was my fault, sorry. It sounded great.
Yeah.
No, it wasn't.
It was not.
It wasn't, like, was it?
Free burgers. They were like, they were
fucking horrible burgers.
The worst burgers I've ever had in my life.
That would turn you vegan.
Yeah, yeah. Tapped in the hall, turned me vegan.
Nah, that's the slogan. But yeah, so just to sort of round up, you know, tonight obviously going to be very fun, but, you know, shortly, what do you guys want from it for the most part?
I just want to play a gig and enjoy myself with these three idiots. More than it, that's all I want from this. It's the start of new beginnings for me.
Yeah.
We've had a shit year. But we've sort of, well, we didn't make the most of it. But we've
thing we needed a refresher, because we were definitely stuck in a rut, and we had this whole thing with Luke. His original plan was to go on a cruise ship for an undeclared amount of time, like months and months and months. So we were already preparing ourselves for like time off, and then we were not given an option when lockdown happened. But that's given Luke some perspective, you know. They're staying on you know, actual land and not going onto a cruise ship anymore, which is great. It's great to have Luke back. I think that's a big thing in just saying, like, we've got to move forward as a band now because everybody's here. So we were ready to have time off. We just had a bit longer than we planned for, but we're refreshed. Like, we're all refreshed again. I'm just looking forward to seeing the people. I'm just looking forward to seeing something that looks like a gig. It might be a bit weird with people sitting down, but something that looks like a gig. Being on stage, being loud and proud, you know. I've only been working in headphones for 18 months, so I just want to crank my amp and, you know, make people's bowels shake with some bass and go a little bit deaf with Sam smacking the crap out of the tubs and just the same shenanigans that we always do, just to entertain ourselves.
Yep, absolutely.
And if other people are entertained by us being idiots, then that's fine by me.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, sound.
Sounds like we're in for a good night, then.
Definitely.
Definitely, yeah.
Yeah. So if people want to hear Mahatma's Raindrop stuff, where do they go?
We're on all the streaming sites. Same spiel that any band will give you. Spotify, Apple Music, Deezer. I'm trying to think of the most obscure one now. Amazon Music. We have
Shark.
We have the
Green Shark still exist?
Don't know.
You might as well have said LimeWire.
LimeWire, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
We've got the absolutely ace video that Ruby herself did for us for Hero Kid on YouTube. Go and give that a watch. We've still got the live videos from the Blue Room sessions on the YouTube and the Facebook. Yeah, if you want to fill your boots, there's stuff there and there's more stuff coming.
Yeah.
Yeah, baby.
Yeah, baby. Well, thanks for coming on the podcast.
No problem. It's been a pleasure.
You're very welcome.
Yeah, it's been nice actually recording one in person for a change.
Yeah, absolutely. From the comfort of my own home.
Fingers crossed we get some more.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah.
Thanks, Rubes.
Yeah, nice one.
You're listening to Fresh from the Scene with Ruby Price.
Thank you very much for listening. I hope you enjoyed that. If you did, please do share it on social media. You have no idea how much it helps us out. If you're listening to this podcast on a platform that allows you to, please do consider just taking 5 minutes to leave this podcast a review. That would really, really help us out. If you missed the gig, I do have a Rubes Media video from that night. It's available on my Instagram at Rubes Media, RUUBEZMEDIA. And if you want to check out Mahatma Raindrop, you can listen to them on pretty much any streaming platform. Get yourself down to a gig sometime. Very good. Very good live band. I hope you enjoyed it. I'll see you next time. Thank you very much. Goodbye.